Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of your Locked On Podcast Network. Today's your host, Evan Sadrin. We're back for part two of our positional preview series with Anthony Smith of Coast to Coast Scouting, talking through the linebackers and tight ends today. Anthony, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back again.
Yeah, no worries. I'm really glad to have you back on today because I think these are two very intriguing positions for this Colts team this year. Arguably one of the biggest strengths in the roster at linebacker, but also maybe their biggest question mark outside of Jack Doyle at tight end is how maybe Trey Burton, Malia Cox, those guys will do there. But we're going to start off with the linebackers here, Anthony, because what's your expectation the closer we get to the season about Darius Leonard entering year three? Because we saw at the end of last year, he kind of turned it back on to how he was in the beginning of his rookie year. And with DeForest Buckner up front there now, this feels like it could be a real big full-fledged breakout year for Darius Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, somehow it feels like he's still, you know, fallen under the radar a little bit, maybe with more casual fans. But, I mean, he's an absolute monster. You know, if he can stay on the field, you know, he's had a couple of nagging injuries and the concussion and everything last year. If he can stay on the field, I mean, with this defense, with, like I said, DeForest Buckner, you know, cleaning up some of the – doing some of the dirty work, I think that this could be a massive year for the Maniac.
Yeah, speaking of that, he's one of the only players, I think the only player in NFL history to have at least seven interceptions and 12 sacks to go along with 150-plus tackles in his first year. So he's definitely stuffing the stat sheet in a historic way. Does it feel like Leonard maybe is flying too under the radar just because he's, like, so slept on? I don't know how that's the case, though, Anthony, because we see players like Bobby Wagner. It took maybe a couple years to get on the national scene, but once he got there, he's pretty much sustained on top three, top five on that list. Maybe it's just because he plays for the Colts and Midwest team at lower market, but it feels like to me Darius Leonard's poised to maybe be, we saw the linebacker contracts this year, maybe probably, I mean, we have to assume by next year, the highest paid linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I mean, yeah, I guess the Colts are a small market, but I mean, they're a very popular team, you know, at least historically. So it does seem really weird to see Darius being slept on. Like you said, you mentioned his stats. Nobody has ever put up the first two seasons that he has. For my money, you know, he's the best linebacker in the league already. I thought that Bobby Wagner held that title for quite a while, but I mean, based on the trend and what we've seen so far from Leonard, he definitely is the best linebacker in the league for my money. And I don't know what else he needs to do to get that respect. I mean, he forces the fumbles. He had the pick six last year. He gets interceptions. I mean, the guy does it all, honestly.
Yeah, he really is. He's one of the more versatile pieces on the defense in the NFL. I think he's really prime for a huge year thanks to the stuff Chris Ballard's done, obviously, and helping him bolster that defense even further. But let's talk about Anthony Walker for a second, because a player is entering the final year of his contract. Obviously, Bobby Okereke is nipping at his heels for that Mike linebacker spot. What do you think about Anthony Walker heading to 2020-2021?
Yeah, Anthony Walker is really, for me, the most interesting case on this team. I mean, I like him a lot. You kind of know what you're going to get with Anthony Walker, though. I mean, he's solid in run coverage. You know, he's good for probably 100 tackles a year. You know, he's never going to be the star on any team, but he's a great linebacker, too. You know, the Colts are lucky to be in a position where, you know, they have so much talent at linebacker that maybe Bobby Okereke is pushing him out of position a little bit. But, I mean, he's just a rock solid, you know, number two, really, really good number three linebacker at worst. He doesn't get a lot of love either, but I mean, him and Leonard for these past two seasons have been a great tandem.
Yeah, and speaking to that, he's very one of the more cerebral linebackers we've seen, even maybe more instinctual than Darius Leonard at some points with how he's able to just get in the gaps very quickly and be able to really diagnose plays at a high rate. That's why I think Darius Leonard loved him so much and vouched for him so much. But what do you think about Walker entering into a contract year here with Bobby Okereke behind him? Maybe we see Walker go over to Sam more this year. How do you think that's going to play out with him and Okereke? And who do you think ends up being that Mike linebacker?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I think that, you know, from what we've heard from Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, they really, really like Bobby Okereke. So I wouldn't be surprised if he pushes for Leonard's position. As far as Anthony Walker, though, I mean, this is a tough one because, I mean, you don't want to lose a linebacker of his talent, of his skill, but you can't pay him probably what he wants, what he deserves, if he is going to be that third linebacker. So it's going to be really interesting to see if he starts out of the gate slow and Bobby Okereke continues his strong play like we saw towards the end of the season. I think this could potentially, you know, be, you know, one of the last hurrahs for Anthony Walker as a Colt.
Yeah, which would be unfortunate, but also two sides of the coin here. The Colts will be able to get, a pretty high comp pick back for Walker at this point. We saw Blake Martinez, who's now in the Giants, former Packers linebacker, get $10 plus million a year. I think Walker's better than Blake Martinez. So I think he's well on his way to being a one of the higher paid linebackers in the league. And who knows if the Colts could be able to do that with the way they view Bobby Okereke here. But let's go into Okereke for a second here, Anthony, because I think one of the more higher praised guys approached here by the Colts from the inside out, because we even saw owner Jim Irsay bring up Bobby Okereke when talk about, he mentioned Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard. Then right after they brought Bobby Okereke, which really caught me off guard there, because they must have been in a very high regard of coming next to those two guys. What did you see from Okereke in the last final part of the season where he really started to blossom there? And what do you expect from him in 2020?
Yeah, it was great to see, his progression over the season. I think I mentioned this the last time I was on. I'm a Stanford fan, so seeing him come in, you know, I knew what we were gonna see from him. You know, he's a really rangy guy, great speed. The instincts are lacking a little bit sometimes. The tackling is lacking a little bit sometimes, but we saw, you know, towards the end of the season, he really picked it up. You could tell that the pace of the game was getting to him less and less as the season progressed. So, you know, all things we've heard are is that, you know, from the coaching staff and front office is that his future, you know, is as bright as can be. And I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah. With Okereke, how do you view him next to Darius Leonard? Let's say he does take the Mike linebacker spot and those guys play all three downs together. That's one of the more versatile and especially rangier duos in the league, I imagine, because Okereke, if people don't know, he has almost the exact same wingspan as Darius Leonard there. So the athletic traits are off the charts there with him as well as his cerebralness.
Yeah, as far as coverage, I mean, you're pretty much set between Okereke and Leonard. Like you said, they both have massive wingspans, something that Ballard has targeted in the draft with corners and linebackers and really defenders of all kinds. But I really think that, you know, if you run with those two as your number one and your number two linebackers, if you can shore up Okereke's tackling a little bit and get his instincts up to speed, I mean, there's no reason to see either of them come off the field ever. You know, Okereke already is up there as far as his coverage ability. We saw that improve as the season went on. If he can shore up, you know, his run support a little bit, you know, that's a nasty, nasty duo.
What's your ceiling? Like, what is the ceiling for Bobby Okereke, Anthony? I mean, thinking about, we saw last year some flashes here and there, but what do you think is a ceiling for Bobby Okereke looking ahead in the future a little bit?
Yeah, tough to say. I mean, it's so hard to play, especially defense in this league, with all the talent and the rules that are kind of slanted against the defense. But I mean, on some teams, if Bobby Okereke was somebody's best linebacker in 3 or 4 years, that wouldn't come as a huge surprise to me. Like I said, I was huge on him coming out, both as a Stanford fan and just as a draft analyst. But I mean, I think his ceiling is sky high. You know, he'll never be probably the playmaker or the raw talent that Darius Leonard is, but there's no reason why he can't be a star in this league.
Yeah, that's going to be a very fun duo, I think, over the next couple of years, Okereke and Leonard. And adding Anthony Walker, I think it's fair to say the Colts might have the best linebacker trio in the NFL there. But let's talk about the backups for a second, Anthony. And maybe they might not play as much this year because you have the stalwarts up front, that trio that's going to play probably 100% of the snaps between all three of those guys combined together. But what do you think about some players in the back end here, like an EJ Speed, who showed a lot in preseason last year? I wish there was some preseason this year. Unfortunately, it got canceled due to COVID-19. I think Speed would have showed even more there. But very high praise from him last year from Darius Leonard. You compare himself to him. I think that's one of the more intriguing players, at least development-wise, is EJ Speed, because the freakish athletic abilities are off the charts there.
Yeah. He's another, like I said, very intriguing talent on this, in this linebacker group. I mean, we didn't get to see, you know, a ton from him necessarily. And like I said, it's a real bummer that we're not going to see preseason play this year at all. But I think he's going to be a guy that will stick around for quite some time. I mean, you know, when you look at the linebacker group that we have, he's young. His frame is fantastic. He's about the same weight as Darius Leonard, but he's actually a little bit taller. So he fits that mold of linebacker that Chris Ballard likes, you know, pretty well. He definitely still needs to grow, develop, you know, coming from Tarleton State, you know, the level of competition was not quite, you know, what you need to be truly ready for the NFL. But I really do like him as a third or fourth linebacker, depending on, you know, what happens with Anthony Walker after this.
Yeah, he could be very much an Anthony Walker insurance policy as far as his depth goes heading into 2021. Another backup that we talked about, I think we mentioned it on our 53-man roster predictions before, Anthony, was Matthew Adams and Zaire Franklin. Who do you lean there? Has your mind changed at all between those two guys? Because I feel like one of those guys will make the roster, because we're going to talk about him in a second, Jordan Glasgow, his special teams ability, and Chris Bowd Ravenbaud already probably already almost steals him a spot on this roster.
Yeah, I believe when we discussed the roster, the 53-man roster the last time, I believe I had Adams being cut, and I'm not 100% sure on Franklin. Between the two of them, I do lean Zaire Franklin. They're both great special teams players. I think that Franklin has shown maybe a little bit more in real-time coverage and in gameplay versus just special teams. So I do expect that Matthew Adams, even though he's a fine, you know, depth piece and special teams player, I do think we're going to see him get cut. Jordan Glasgow is the really interesting one, you know, kind of hybrid linebacker safety. I think he's going to get a ton of run, early on in the season just because of his special teams ability. So I think that, you know, between those three, and then I guess you have Sky Moore in there as well, who's been, you know, up and down on the roster a couple times, I think that we'll see Adams probably get cut. But I'm expecting some good progressions from Zaire Franklin, and then hoping to see a lot from Jordan Glasgow.
Yeah, this linebacker group, going through the list here, is it fair to say, Anthony, it's maybe one of their biggest strengths in the roster is their linebackers, because you see just the raw talent, but also the depth that Chris Bowd has put in place here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I mean, probably, you know, arguably the best trio in the league between Leonard, Walker, and Okereke, and then you get into the depth, EJ Speed, a nice young talent, Sky Moore, like I said, a guy out of South Carolina, who's still young. I really like him quite a bit, and think he could make it in this league. And then you got guys that are, you always need, you know, special teams contributors and things like that. So that's where you have, you know, maybe the bottom three in Adams, Franklin, and Glasgow, but they're still fine players. So absolutely love the depth that Chris Bowd has built here.
Colts fans, do you want to save money on your next car purchase? You better go do so at rockauto.com, because they are by far the best option out there in the open market compared to other competitors out there. Rockauto.com will save you so much money on whether it may be, whether it's a tail lamp, motor oil, a new fuel pump, whatever it may be, rockauto.com is going to save you a lot of money in your pocket. They are a family-owned business serving auto part customers on for 20-plus years. Then you can go to Rock Auto to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They are everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, you get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Click to see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and price you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals do-it-yourselfers. So why spend the twice as much for the same parts you can get a lot cheaper at RockAuto? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your truck. Write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. If you want to get help for your car or truck, write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. LOCKADON in the How'd You Hear About Us box so Locked On Colts sent you over there. Moving ahead to the tight ends for the second part of our show, Anthony, and let's hit on for a second Jack Doyle, because he's old Mr. Reliable. He never drops the ball at all. He's always open. But I feel like he's primed for a huge year, because two of the last 3 years had Jacoby Brissett as his quarterback, but with Philip Rivers, who loves his tight ends, I think we're going to see a really, really fun year from Jack Doyle, and I think it's going to become pretty quickly a security blanket for Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think we're going to see quite a bit from Jack Doyle today. Like I said, Mr. Reliable. We know that Philip Rivers has loved tight ends in the past, with, you know, Hunter Henry most recently, Antonio Gates, of course, the legend. And I think that, you know, we're going to see a season similar to, you know, his breakout season, his Pro Bowl season in 2017, his first Pro Bowl season, excuse me. He had 108 targets and he caught 80 of them. You know, he's not a huge threat as far as, you know, dynamic yards after catch ability or touchdowns or anything like that. But I think that he is going to be rock solid. I mean, if you give him 8 touchdowns and 700 yards, I would not be surprised whatsoever.
Let me ask you about this, Anthony. Just thinking about Colts throughout the years, is Jack Doyle one of the more underrated Colts, at least in the last decade or so? Because he's always healthy. He's never really ever hurt. He's always making good plays. He reminds me, he's not on the tier of Dallas Clark, of course, but I think he's right in tier two leading that, just as far as tight ends all time in Colts history.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agreed. Definitely, I think he fits pretty comfortably into that tier two. Especially, I mean, he's been here for going into, I believe, 7 seasons already, which is crazy. You know, he's been here since 2013. Like I said, hardly misses a game. Apart from 2018, he was a little bit banged up. But, you know, I think that he just is everything that Chris Ballard and fans have come to expect from a tight end. I mean, he's athletic enough to beat you down the seam sometimes, but you know he's going to catch the ball. You know if there's a third down, a fourth down, red zone play, you know, he's been the guy to go to. He's never going to wow you with his athleticism per se, but he's always going to be a guy that you're happy to have in your locker room for sure.
Looking ahead to Trey Burton now for a second, because of course he's going to be replacing Eric Ebron, who had in this role the last 2 years, but as the move tight end. And we'll see how Trey Burton does health-wise here. But from what you've seen in the past, Anthony, with Philadelphia and Chicago, his last two stints for Burton, I think we're in play here for maybe a really solid year from Trey Burton, because familiar with Frank Reich, you have a very good scheme that gets guys open all the time. He never really drops the ball much compared to Eric Ebron. I think they're very polar opposite there as far as drop percentage goes. I think Trey Burton could be in for a sneaky good year here.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting. I mean, this could be, you know, if all things go right, if Philip Rivers is who we expect him to be, this could be, you know, an Eric Ebron-esque season for Burton. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I mean the Eric Ebron that we saw with Andrew Luck. So, you know, we saw in Chicago in 2018 his best season to date. That was the most targets he had received, the most catches he's had, the most yards, the most touchdowns. He's a nice mismatch piece. You know, he did get banged up and had some groin injuries and I believe hip surgery as well. But I mean, if he's fully healthy, you know, we love to run these two tight end, three tight end sets. He seems like a guy that could really make an impact, even though he's not going to be the first, second, or even third target.
Yeah, Burton is definitely going to be one of the more intriguing pieces this year, because I think if he stays up to his potential, he stays on the field too with his health. I think he's going to be a very much a mismatch piece, and you add him into the weapons already on offense with Jack Doyle, tight end. You have T.Y., Mike Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, Zach Pascal. I think this is a very fun group ahead for the playmakers with Philip Rivers at quarterback here. But the last player I want to hit with you, Anthony, as far as the tight ends go, Mo'Ali Cox. I think it's a very important year for him, because we've been talking about potential with this guy for over 2 years now. I think it's kind of prove it time for him. I know he's one of the better blocking tight ends already in the NFL. We've seen it already when the jumbo packages, especially in that Kansas City game, they used Ali Cox a lot, and he did very well in that blocking type role. But I think the Colts expect more of him. I think fans do too, as far as being maybe that sort of vertical threat. We saw that one flash against Oakland in 2018, but outside that, not much. How intrigued are you to see Mo'Ali Cox in 2020?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, Mo'Ali Cox's progression throughout the season, because it seemed like, you know, after it was clear that we were going to, you know, part ways with Eric Ebron, Doyle was going to return to the number one guy. Before Trey Burton came along, it seemed like Mo'Ali Cox was kind of primed to be a pivotal part of that offense. You know, don't expect a ton necessarily now, but you know, it's tough. I mean, we've seen some flashes, but we all know, you know, his upbringing. He was a basketball player for VCU. He's been in the league for 3 seasons, still learning the position. Like you said, markedly improved in his run blocking, which I think is going to be huge for him to stay on this team. We know that the athleticism is there. It's tough when you're the third tight end and there are some other good options on offense, but I think we'll see a decent season. I'm not expecting a huge breakout with, you know, Burton in the group now, but I do think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be continuing to be important as a number three tight end.
Yeah, if he does show more flashes this year, I think he could be have a good chance of being that number two tight end in 2021. If Burton's on a one-year deal, if maybe things don't go well there, Mo'Ali Cox sets himself up for a nice role with the Colts in 2021-22 here.
Yep.
I wanted to hit on, before I let you go, Anthony, just overall tight end group between Doyle, Burton, and Mo'Ali Cox. How do you view that tight end room?
I think it's fair to say it's probably middle of the pack. I mean, if all things go well, you're going to get a solid season out of Jack Doyle. You should get some nice flashy plays from both Trey Burton and Mo'Ali Cox. I just wonder if they're going to be able to put it all together. I like Jack a lot more when he's paired up with a really dynamic, like a huge threat at tight end, like Eric Ebron was. So I'm not 100% sure if Trey Burton will be able to be that, like Eric Ebron was in his first season in Indianapolis. But it's going to be interesting. I think they'll be good enough to keep the ball moving. Doyle's going to be a great safety blanket, and we'll see some things from Mo'Ali Cox, but there's no star here, clearly. So I think it's going to be kind of a middle of the pack as far as talent and performance. But I do think that Philip Rivers is going to really enjoy having this group.
Training camp actually starts tomorrow, Anthony. How excited are you to finally see some Colts content and actually see this team, no preseason now, but at least 6 weeks away from them taking the field?
Oh, I'm incredibly excited. I mean, this season, nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, it's been such a whirlwind already. And like I said, we're not even at training camp or just at the footstep for training camp. So it's going to be fascinating. Anything I think can really happen this season. I think that we're going to see a lot of improvement over this past season. And I'm just hoping for some fun Colts football again.
Oh, same here, man. I'm really hoping. I think I have high hopes, too, for this tight end group and that linebacker group. I appreciate coming on to help us analyze it. You guys can go follow him on Twitter if you're not already, at @Ant_TheOreo, and go read his work over at Coast to Coast Scouting, at CC Scouting on Twitter. Anthony, appreciate the time, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Evan.